The Dream Quest of Unknown Kadath by H.P. Lovecraft, Part 14. Great polypus horrors slid darkly past, and unseen bat wings beat multitudinous around him, but still he clung to the unwholesome mane of that loathly and hippocephalic scaled bird. The stars danced mockingly, almost shifting now and then to form pale signs of doom that one might wonder one had not seen and feared before. And ever the winds of Nether howled of vague blackness and loneliness beyond the cosmos. Then through the glittering vault ahead there fell a hush of portent, and all the winds and horrors slunk away as night things slink away before the dawn. Trembling in waves that golden wisps of nebula made weirdly visible, there rose a timid hint of far-off melody, droning in faint chords that our own universe of stars knows not. And as that music grew, the Shantok raised its ears and plunged ahead, and Carter likewise bent to catch each lovely strain. It was a song, but not the song of any voice. Night and the spheres sang it, and it was old when space and Nyarlathotep and the other gods were born. Faster flew the Shantok, and lower bent the rider, drunk with the marvel of strange gulfs and whirling in the crystal coils of outer magic. Then came too late the warning of the evil one, the sardonic caution of the Daemon Legate, who had bidden the seeker beware the madness of that song. Only to taunt had Nyarlathotep marked out the way to safety in the marvelous Sunset City. Only to mock had that black messenger revealed the secret of these truant gods, whose steps he could so easily lead back at will. For madness and the void's wild vengeance are Nyarlathotep's only gifts to the presumptuous. And frantic though the rider strove to turn his disgusting steed, that leering, tittering Shantok coursed on, impetuous and relentless, flapping its great slippery wings in malignant joy, and headed for those unhallowed pits whither no dreams reach. That last amorphous blight of neithermost confusion, where bubbles and blasphemes at infinity's center, the mindless Daemon Sultan Azathoth, whose name no lips dare speak aloud. Unswerving and obedient to the foul legate's orders, that hellish bird plunged onward through shoals of shapeless lurkers and caperers in darkness and vacuous herds of drifting entities that pawed and groped and groped and pawed the nameless larvae of the other gods that are like them blind and without mind and possessed of singular hungers and thirsts. Onward, unswerving and relentless, and tittering hilariously to watch the chuckling and hysterics into which the risen song of night in the spheres had turned, that eldritch scaly monster bore its helpless rider, hurtling and shooting, cleaving the uttermost rim and spanning the outermost abysses, leaving behind the stars and the realms of matter, and darting meteor-like through stark formlessness toward those inconceivable, unlighted chambers beyond time, wherein Azathoth gnaws, shapeless and ravenous, amidst the muffled, maddening beat of vile drums and the thin, monotonous whine of accursed flutes. Onward, onward, through the screaming, cackling, and blackly populous gulfs. And then, from some dim blessed distance, there came an image and a thought to Randolph Carter the Doomed. Too well had Nyarlathotep planned his mocking and his tantalizing, for he had brought up that which no gusts of icy terror could quite efface. Home. New England, Beacon Hill, the waking world. For know you that your gold and marble city of wonder is only the sum of what you have seen and loved in youth. The glory of Boston's hillside roofs and western windows aflame with sunset, of the flower-fragrant common and the great dome on the hill, and the tangle of gables and chimneys in the violet valley where the many-bridged Charles flows drowsily. This loveliness, molded, crystallized, and polished by years of memory and dreaming, is your terraced wonder of elusive sunsets. And to find that marble parapet with curious urns and carven rail, and descend at last those endless balustraded steps to the city of broad squares and prismatic fountains, you need only to turn back to the thoughts and visions of your wistful boyhood. Onward, onward, dizzily onward to ultimate doom, through the blackness where sightless feelers pawed and slimy snouts jostled and nameless things tittered and tittered and tittered. But the image and the thought had come, and Randolph Carter knew clearly that he was dreaming and only dreaming, and that somewhere in the background the world of waking and the city of his infancy still lay. Words came again. You need only turn back to the thoughts and visions of your wistful boyhood. Turn, turn. Blackness on every side, but Randolph Carter could turn. Thick through the rushing nightmare that clutched his senses, Randolph Carter could turn and move. He could move, and if he chose, he could leap off the evil Shantak that bore him hurtlingly doomward at the orders of Nyarlathotep. He could leap off and dare those depths of night that yawned interminably down, those depths of fear whose terrors yet could not exceed the nameless doom that lurked waiting at chaos's core. He could turn and move and leap. He could! He would! He would! He would! Off that vast hippocephalic abomination leapt the doomed and desperate dreamer, and down through endless voids of sentient blackness he fell. Eons reeled, universes died and were born again. Stars became nebulae, and nebulae became stars, and still Randolph Carter fell through those endless voids of sentient blackness. Then, in the slow creeping course of eternity, the utmost cycle of the cosmos churned itself into another futile completion, and all things became again as they were, unreckoned kalpas before. Matter and light were born anew as space had once known them, and comets, suns, and worlds sprang flaming into life, though nothing survived to tell that they had been and gone, always and always, back to no first beginning. And there was a firmament again, and a wind, and a glare of purple light in the eyes of the falling dreamer. There were gods, and presences, and wills, beauty and evil, and the shrieking of noxious night robbed of its prey. For, through the unknown ultimate cycle, had lived a thought and a vision of a dreamer's boyhood, and now there were remade a waking world and an old cherished city to body and to justify these things. Out of the void, Syngak, the violet gas, had pointed the way, and archaic Nodens was bellowing his guidance from unhinted deeps. Stars swelled to dawns, and dawns burst into fountains of gold, carmine, and purple, and still the dreamer fell. Cries rent the ether as ribbons of light beat back the fiends from outside. And hoary Nodens raised a howl of triumph when Nyarlathotep, close on his quarry, stopped baffled by a glare that seared his formless hunting horrors to gray dust. Randolph Carter had indeed descended at last the wide marmoreal flights to his marvelous city, for he was come again to the fair New England world that had wrought him. So, to the organ chords of morning's myriad whistles, and dawn's blaze thrown dazzling through purple panes by the great gold dome of the State House on the hill, Randolph Carter leaped shoutingly awake within his Boston room. Birds sang in hidden gardens, and the perfume of trellised vines came wistful from arbors his grandfather had reared. Beauty and light glowed from classic mantel and carven cornice and walls grotesquely figured, while a sleek black cat rose yawning from hearthside sleep that his master's start and shriek had disturbed. And vast infinities away, past the gate of deeper slumber, and the enchanted wood, and the garden lands, and the Serenarian sea, and the twilight reaches of Inquanok, the crawling chaos Nyarlathotep strode brooding into the onyx castle atop unknown Kadath in the cold waste, and taunted insolently the mild gods of earth, whom he had snatched abruptly from their scented revels in the marvelous sunset city. End of part 14. End of The Dream Quest of Unknown Kadath.